This is Judith Lay saying Moramai, good morning and welcome as the island's Christian community is once more at your service. Manx Radio. Walking on water, taking a leap of faith. That's what we're thinking about as we're at your service today. And I'm pleased to say that once again our opening hymn is a listener's choice. Music has always been a huge part of Mrs. Hilary Sewell's life as an organist, pianist and music teacher. Nowadays, Hilary really enjoys being organist at the Abbey Church in Ballasalla and in the Methodist chapel that's almost on her own doorstep in Ballykilferrick. Hilary's hymn choice is sung for us today by the City of Birmingham Symphony Chorus, and it's All My Hope on God Is Founded. All My Hope on God Is Founded, a great hymn of trust chosen for us by Mrs. Hilary Sewell, listening in Ballykilferrick. Your hymn choices are always welcome. I'll remind you at the end of the programme how to contact me. And if you'd like to dedicate your choice to someone who'll be listening along with you, it'd be my pleasure to do that. We're starting today with two stories from the Bible. Isn't it often the way that in order to get the full value from any story, we need to know a bit of background? Knowing what happened immediately beforehand can really affect how we react to a story. And I think that's particularly true of these two incidents from the time when Jesus was travelling from town to town, meeting people, teaching them, and healing those who were sick. The first story is a familiar one, Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A powerful story in its own right. But what I find even more amazing is that Jesus, who was fully human just as we are, had just been given some truly dreadful news. He'd just been told that his cousin, John the Baptist, was dead. For John to have died from natural causes would have been bad enough. But John had in fact been callously beheaded at the order of Herod the Tetrarch, a first century ruler of Galilee. On hearing this news, Jesus' instinct was to try to have some time alone. But the crowds followed him. He could have sent them away, but he didn't. Instead, he put aside his own shock and grief in order to take care of their needs. This is how the story is told in St. Matthew's Gospel. We join the story immediately after the death of John the Baptist.
John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray.
David Suchet bringing to life the words of St. Matthew's Gospel. Jesus' miraculous feeding of 5,000 people, done to show his care for the crowds who'd followed him all that day, people he could reasonably have sent away, particularly as he was trying to come to terms with the news of the killing of his cousin John. But it's only after the whole crowd is fed that Jesus does 3 things. He orders his disciples to get into a boat and cross over to the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee. He sends the crowds home, and then he goes up the mountainside to spend some time alone in prayer.
After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease.
So now we've heard the gospel account of Jesus walking on the water and Peter trying to take that leap of faith. Now let's listen as two people explain what this story means to them. First, Reverend Joe Dudley, Vicar of Christ Church in Laxey, followed by Douglas-based pioneer minister Reverend Alex Brown. For Reverend Joe, the story took on a deeper meaning after she actually went in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And Reverend Alex Brown's leap of faith is a story you've never heard before.
Hopefully, we all have some nostalgic childhood memories of Sunday school teachers and stories. If you were as lucky and blessed as I was, you will still hear familiar voices recounting the miracles of Jesus, both in those Sunday schools and in your home environment. Living near the East Coast, a train trip for a day fishing on the pier with my dad, or a coach trip with a Sunday school and building sandcastles and all the other delights of the seaside in the 1950s are special memories. Our background gives us ideas of how the stories we read might actually appear. I can't remember the first time I heard the story of Jesus walking on the water, but I could, I thought, so relate to the calling of the fishermen to become disciples. Childhood imaginings become adult realities, but nothing quite prepared me for finally taking the plunge and joining Steve Ingrell, his dad and Dawn on their pilgrimage to the Holy Land last November with friends from the island and one friend of 50 years standing. Boats and I are not good bedfellows, and I was not at all sure how a voyage on the Sea of Galilee would suit my equilibrium. We all entered the boat and sat around the sides as it chugged out just before the sun set into the middle of what we might view as a gentle, calm, small lake, seemingly possible to see all four coastlines at the same time. The motor stopped. The peace and calm was surreal. Here was I with friends old and new, where the disciples of Jesus found themselves when a sudden storm brewed up and upset their equilibrium. We sang together and received the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the celebration of Holy Communion. Jesus didn't walk on the water towards us, but he was truly with us. No one tried to copy Peter and walk on the water towards him and fear for their life as they started to sink. But for me, Jesus was truly there, confirming my trust in him. A demonstration of how the nets were cast in the day of Jesus did not remind me of the day spent fishing with my dad off the pier at Clacton or Walton. But it did remind me that the stories of Jesus are not fiction for our Sunday schools, but fact for our faith.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives and restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Christian, follow me."
Let me tell you a walking on water story that's currently in process, but to really tell it, I probably need to go back 15 years. I know it was 15 years ago because it was over the weekend of my 30th birthday. My wife Amanda and I had been away from the Isle of Man at a Bible college run by Assemblies of God. We'd both given up our jobs with no grant, no student loan, and no income, and spent 3 years at the college. God was incredibly faithful to how we answered that call and stepped out of that boat. And now it was 2005, and we were between our second and third year of the course, trying to decide what to do next. We both had a dream. A dream of a centre for young adults where we would teach them, train them, disciple them and send them out on mission across the island and across the world. It would be a creative space, a Christian community, a hub for Christian mission, interdenominational and based on prayer and the Bible and sinking into local churches. But we knew that anything like that was going to cost us about £1 million to set up, and we had no £1 million, we had no building and we had no team. And not really any point of reference for how that would happen. So, it was the eve of my 30th birthday. I was very, very excited about what the next few years were going to bring. After all, Jesus began his ministry when he was 30. So the next 3 years, in my head, were going to be my Jesus ministry years. I remember it vividly. It was a still, misty night in Ramsey. I decided to go for a walk and a pray, and I found myself on Ramsey Beach, beyond the Iron Pier by Bellure Glen. I walked towards the gentle rippling sea, and as I stood there, I felt God speak to me in my spirit and say to me, "Go on, I want you to walk on the water." I remember being like, "What?" I feel like I should probably turn around and walk off. But I couldn't. The feeling got stronger and stronger. "I want you to walk on the water." To my left, a figure kind of came through the mist walking his dog. So now it's not really the time. I didn't want him to think that I was in serious mental trouble. So I waited. I waited while he turned and he walked back. And then I had to make a decision. What was I going to do? So I decided to go for it. With my heart in my mouth and with this like boyish excitement, I stepped out into the water. Little by little, I began to walk in until suddenly, the water lapped over my shoes, soaked my socks, and I decided to turn back. Well, I missed what God was saying there. So I went home, I relayed the amusing story of my mishearing God, and Amanda and myself laughed, and then we celebrated my birthday the next day. But that very next weekend, I met a guy who was on Judith Lay's Live at the Mill Sunday evening program. He was talking about something, and afterwards, I can't remember what it was, and afterwards, we took talking downstairs in the mill refectory, Well, this guy ran a mission centre, a community for young people, arts-based, gospel-focused, in partnership with local churches, and it had cost him £2 million to set it all up. I was entranced by the conversation. I asked how he'd done it, and this is what he said. You'll never have the perfect ingredients. You just need to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Honestly, his words hit me like a train. 1 year later, Amanda and I moved into Malmore, a £1 million building in Port St Mary, and from there the seeds were sown for what became a season for the Isle of Man of GAP students coming, remaining, living and working in SUMT, working in local churches, and 60 leaders plus later, there's been a change of church culture and expectation. So I told you that this was a story about what's happening now. Well, here we are, 15 years on, and it all seems to be happening again. I'm now a pioneer minister in Douglas with the Church of England. We've been developing a small network of fresh expressions of church aimed primarily at 16 to 35s. And we've got no venues and no resources and no project funding. And we were given initially no team, but things are starting to happen. But that's for another time. In the middle of all of this, that drive to create Christian community and the sense that when Christians come and spend time together in community, incredible things happen. It's never left me. And a few years ago, I just couldn't shake it. So I asked to meet up with the Reverend David Shurtliff, who I knew to be amongst a group of people who share the same drive and call. David heard me out, and we walked through the whole of South Barul Plantation with me talking at him. We talked and talked, and then eventually he said, Alex, there's a house and there's a group. There's a house that's on offer to us in the west of the island. It's going to need a little bit of renovating to make it fit for its new purpose, but it's been so well looked after that it's almost ready to go. Would I be interested in joining a group that I've been thinking about this for about 10 years to make a retreat house happen, a Christian community happen? I mean, it was an instant yes from me. Now, here we are, the other side, we hope, of COVID-19. And who would have thought that in the wake of a global pandemic, a group of people would have the courage to open up a retreat space? But honestly, miracle after miracle after miracle have happened to enable this house, Tide of A, the House of Life, to be ready to go soon, and more miracles are coming up. So I stand now on the water once again. Sometimes as I stand here with our pioneer network of communities of faith and with the Tide of A house in Peel, I can definitely feel the water creeping over the edges of my shoes again. But I stay here, and I know that God is going to lead me out onto those waves in faith. He's going to use these people, these places, these communities to enable his spirit to move in ways that we have not seen on the island for a while. Will you stand with me and with us wherever you are? And will you believe for more in your life too? Will you listen with me to what God is asking us to do? And even when our feet get wet, will we all walk back into that water another time together with Jesus leading us on?
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon. My faith will be made stronger in the presence.
Reverend Alex Brown was talking about his leap of faith, the new retreat house, Tide of A, House of Life, set to open in Peel during the autumn. As Alex said, this isn't a breakaway group or a sect. It's led by members of various Christian denominations working alongside the island's churches to offer a place where people of all faiths and none can discern the spiritual presence in their life, a place to listen to the promptings of God in an atmosphere of peace and acceptance. As you might imagine, there's a website where you can find much more information about Tide of A and follow the progress as the house is prepared for opening. The website address is very simple, www.retreathouse.im, and retreathouse is all one word, retreathouse.im. If you'd prefer to email, the address is welcome@retreathouse.im, or you can phone or text 56 82 90. 56 82 90.
My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
And that's all we have time for today. Thank you to everyone who's been at your service, and my special thanks to you for your company. Do please keep letting me know the hymns that you'd like to hear. You can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelt L-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget that if you're an early riser and would prefer to listen to At Your Service as you start your day, the podcast of this programme is available every week from 7 a.m, and you can find the podcast on our website, manxradio.com, and on the Manx Radio smartphone app. So I'll be back here next Sunday morning, either as a podcast from 7 a.m. or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But for now, this is Judith wishing you and those you love and care for a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning.